The Lord started speaking to me because I was kind of going through something personally. I was going through a little bit of discouragement this last two or three days. And it was kind of around, you know, his promises and things. I normally don't get discouraged anymore because of where I stay in the Lord. So it was kind of unusual. But I was talking to him about this. He unloaded something very powerful on me this morning. It's not anything probably different than we've said. It's just the way he shows it to you. Amen. Really, the kingdom of God is about what you see out of his word. It's how you see it. It's the perspective he gives to you. It's the way he unloads it to you. But this one has to do with full scale, 100-fold demonstration of the kingdom of God in the earth. Say 100-fold, anointing without measure, demonstration of the kingdom of God in the earth. It's the mystery beyond mysteries. And just the way he showed it to me is it's just a whole nother perspective. And so I'm going to kind of show it to you the way he showed it to me. And we're going to go through a little journey here. But we're on to something. Amen. There is something inside that just won't quit until we apprehend manifest glory of the living God in the earth. To see the manifestation of the kingdom of God in the earth. And to see it powerfully, regularly, and without measure, just the way the Lord did. Go to John 14. The good thing is my spirit came alive. I don't know about you, but I live by revelation. My meat is to do the will of God. My meat is what he gives. We live by the word of the living God. Amen. And the word is life, it's spirit and life. To those who find them, I'll give you a master key. If you want more revelation, you must learn to keep the word he's given you. I didn't say do. Don't get into works. I said keep. I have a whole series on keeping the word. Learn how to keep his word. If you'll do that in your mouth, in your heart, in the frontlets of your eyes, more will be given. He said that. He said, to him who has my word, more will be given. But him that has not my word, even what he has can be taken from him. I didn't say your salvation. I said your word. There's a lot of people who go to heaven, but their promise was taken from them. Their living promise was taken, and that's just not going to happen. Amen? So John 14, the Lord, upper room, these words were only called, as you know, by one man. John's the only person who caught these words. All the other were there, but none of them caught what happened in the upper room. John had laid his head into the breastplate of the Lord, and he caught the revelation of the ages. His entire book is so full of the mysteries of how the Lord walked with the Father and how he did what he did. All those mysteries are there. They're there for us. Amen? Let's begin with Philip in verse 8. And Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father that it may suffice with us. Because he'd been telling about the Father. He goes, just show us the Father. Show me the Father. And then Jesus said to them, have I been so long a time with you, and yet you have not known me? Do you know who's speaking right there? He said, show me the Father, right? And then the Father actually speaks through the Lord personally. I've been with you so long, and you've not known me, Philip? That was the Father speaking. He took right over and spoke right through the Lord. Isn't that awesome? And then the Lord, he really reiterates. He says, and he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then, show me the Father? Jesus was kind of taken back. He kind of thought everybody was on the same page. Do you know there's a lot of people that you think are on the same page and they're not on the same page? You know, you can be in the same boat, in two different places. The Lord was sleeping in the boat while the waves were crashing and his disciples were fearing for their death. And they're all in a 12-foot radius of one another. You can be in two different places being in the same boat together. It's all a matter of where you are. Perspective. Then he said something in verse 10, and this is where the Lord got me. Boy, did he get me this morning. He's probably going to get you too. He didn't do this to condemn me. He did this to help me. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father. Actually, he got me with a verse I just went over with. Go back to verse 9 for a second. Jesus said, he that has seen me, say, he that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest then, show us the Father? And the Lord asked me, can you say that? He that has seen me in the earth has seen the Lord Jesus. Can you say that? He that has seen me has seen the Lord. He says, am I with you in that way the Father was with me? You know, I said, nope. I said, I'm not there yet. He says, and that is why, watch this, you don't have the same operation I have. He said, if you want the operation I have, you have to know, not just know, believe and know that I am with you in the same manner the Father was with me. I am present with you. I am present to heal. I am present to transact business affairs. I am present to love. I am present to deliver. I am in you present to do these things. When he said in Mark 16, he said, they went forth everywhere, the Lord working with them with signs, miracles, and wonders. He was with them. His Holy Spirit was there, but he also was present with them. Go over there. I want you to see this. Then we're going to get to there somewhere. I don't want you to be condemned because you can't achieve that, what he just said, on your own. It's impossible. Let's go over to Mark 16, verse 19. So then the Lord had spoken unto them. He was received up to heaven and he sat on the right hand of God. Now watch this. He's sitting on the right hand of God, but watch this. And they went forth and preached everywhere, and the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. He worked with them. Say working. There was no them there. He said he was working with. Working with. You know the word working with is one word. The Lord was working. There's only one word. And that word in the Greek is synergy. Or synergigo. Which where we get our word from, synergy. That word, the Lord was in synergy relationship with them. The word working. Synergio. Synergy. Synergy is the combinations of two forces working as one to produce a desired effect. They had to be together. Now, there is what is called the gifts of the Spirit, where we're all been apportioned a certain operation. Some signs, some miracles, some with the word of knowledge, some with the word of wisdom, some working in miracles, some discerning spirits, severally given as the Holy Spirit wills. In other words, he regulates those operations, but he gave those gifts, if you look to the Corinthian church. That's where the gifts of the Spirit were first spoken about. He gave those gifts, 9 gifts of the Spirit, to the Corinthian church, which, by the way, was the most carnal church of all churches. Chapter 1, division. Chapter 3, fornication. Chapter 5, suing each other to law. Chapter 6. Chapter 9, there was idolatry. Chapter 11, there was division again at the communion table. And yet they are the church given the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Why did the Holy Spirit regulate it? Because they were ready for the real stuff. The Lord didn't operate like that. He operated without measure. Say, without measure. The Spirit was on him without measure. Now, I want to take you back to John for a minute, but the Lord was working with, he was present. There is a relational operation that brings God present into your life. Go back to John 14. So let's go back and we'll see what he says again. Jesus said, have I been so long a time with you, you've not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. That is the relationship the Lord wants with us in the earth. If he sees you, He said, let your light so shine upon the earth that your works will be manifested before all. Now, he's speaking in context of the union he has with his Father and the works that came out of that union. And he's going to give us the secret. Because John 14, 16, 17 holds the secret of how to operate in the anointing without measure. That's what we're after. That's what the church needs. That's what this world needs. There's 100,000 or 1 million people in the earth operating without measure. That will get the job done. Now the Lord's going to say something to him in verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father? He's going to tell you what he's saying. He's going to explain this to you. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you not believe, it's not the first time he says this, that I am in my Father where he is, but he is in me in this body where I am. Can you not believe that? That's what he asked them to believe.
I didn't believe.
Okay. Go to John 10. Back up to John 10. We'll come back to John 14. See exactly what he says here. Verse 30, John 10. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. I and the Lord Jesus Christ are one. Is that heresy or is that truth? We're not one with him in his deity. He's always king. He's always Lord. He's always to be worshipped. But in operational function, we have to come into a synergistic oneness together. And he's going to describe that before we're done. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, he's talking about raising the dead, healing the blind eyes. He's talking about maimed, lamed, all these miracles that he did that they had no answer for. The whole world was running after him. Even the Jerusalem Sanhedrin said the whole world's gone after him. This is right after he raised Lazarus from the dead. Said, what meaneth you? The whole world's gone after him. And then they conspired how they're going to kill him. They're going to try to kill a man that just raised somebody from the dead. They wanted to kill Lazarus too. The one he just raised from the dead. And they want to kill the one that raised him from the dead. That's how stupid religion is. Because they were losing their power base. They're not the man anymore. He was. And they didn't like it. If I do not the works of my Father, verse 37, don't believe me. Don't even believe me. Did you hear that? If I can't manifest the living Father in your presence, don't believe a single word I say to you. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John words. Don't believe any of it. That's what he said. But if I do, because I'm going to do some things with him and by him, I'm going to do some things that no man can do. Even your mouth said no man had been born blind, had his eyesight returned to him. And yet it happened. If I do not the work of the Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you don't believe me or what I'm saying, watch what he's saying. Watch what he asked them to believe. Watch exactly what he asked them to believe. Believe the works. Why? Believe the works that you may know. What was he asking them to believe? That you may know that the Father is in me and I'm in him. That's the secret to everything. That you may know the Father is in me where I am. I am in him where he is. We have a oneness. That's what he was asking. And he that believes on this, that's what he was asking to believe. He asked him in John 14. He asked him in John 10. Now go to John 5 for a minute. Verse 17. And Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. And then he says something incredibly remarkable. King of glory. Jesus the healer. Christ the healer. Books are written about him all over the world. Watch exactly what he says. Verse 19, in answer, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, when you have two verilies, that means, listen, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, whatsoever he doeth, these things doeth the Son. even as the Son of God, he had to lay down that authority. He could have, just being the sheer Son of God, just like he could have called on the angels, remember? Can I not call on my Father 12 legions? And he would presently deliver me. But he could not do that with his power. Why? He had to do it as a man. Because he was being our representative to show us how this kingdom worked so we could work with him in the same synergistic relationship that he had with his Father. So he said, I can do nothing. I can only do what I see my Father doing, then I do. We have to realize as a church, there's only so many things we can do in this lifetime. There's only so much we can do. But at one point in time, when we're faced with a God of the impossible, we have to admit before God, I cannot do this. It's not in me. I came to that place at 5 o'clock in the morning again, weeping before God this morning. I can't do what you're asking me to do. He said, well, that's phase one. Again, and again, and again. But I need to know how! Everyone say, how? And he starts taking me through this. Now, that's when he asked me the question. When he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He asked me, can you say that? If you've seen me, you've seen Christ. I'm like, not yet. Stay tuned. Look at verse 30. And I can of my own self do nothing. Okay, that most of the body of Christ have been exercised in to some level or another concerning promise, concerning the works, concerning what we are called to do. There are certain, how many of you ever hit your limitation? Hit your ceiling. Like this ceiling is like the open heaven. This one is the limitation. How many of you bounced up against your limitation? But you've seen this other one. You've seen it. You've experienced it. You've encountered it. But you're living under this one. How about this? This is one of the things Anna and I talk about often. Or even Pastor Chuck too. We pray together. So we go up in the glory and we're filled with this place and we're moving in the realm and we even walk out in our future. We perambulate. All of those awesome things we do. And we're in the promised land. We're partaking the promised land. We're eating from the promised land in him. It's a whole thing he's taught us how to do in the face of God. And we're so full. We've been out of heaven. You feel you take on everything. And you get back in the earth and like nothing. You get back within an hour. You're back to yourself. You're back to the same. I'm like, okay, where did all that realm go? And this has been my big Achilles heel. I said, why doesn't that come here? Because, I mean, there's only so many times I'm going to tell you how awesome it is up there, but people want to see. People, it's okay to want to see. They want to touch, taste, experience. In fact, there's a whole sect of people who are not going to believe until they see it. That nobleman of Capernaum, Jesus told him, unless you see signs and miracles, you will nowise believe. But he saw one and he believed and his whole household got saved because he saw a miracle. Just imagine how far would the gospel of the Lord Jesus go without miracles? There's not a single thing he did without miracles. Every single sect of society he was manifesting and demonstrating. Jairus, head of the synagogue of Capernaum, chief ruler of religion. His daughter's raised from the dead. Chief nobleman of Capernaum. He's head of the politics. I think his son was delivered from a demonic. And then you have Peter, James, and John, the fishermen, the fishing industry of Capernaum, was the number one fishing industry of Capernaum. They launch out into the deep. The Lord gives them such a catch in one time that by the time they get their boats to the land, he gives them 3.5 years payday. Now you follow me, your family's taken care of 3.5 years. Their boats were running over. So much so that Peter fell on fish in the middle of the sea. He fell on the fish. These men were of the fishing industry of Capernaum. They fell on the fish and he said, I'm a sinful man. I repent. The Bible says he fell on his face in the boat full of fish. He said, I'm a sinful man. Depart from me. All this was happening in Capernaum. Man, the Lord did so many miracles in Capernaum. How about Matthew, tax collector, Capernaum? His protege. And so he demonstrates to the second guy, go get a fish, bring out the gold coin, pay taxes for me and you. Boom, done, finished. It's tax season. Everyone's worried about that. Yeah. All that's in Capernaum. He's demonstrating to all the sectors. You see how that works? Imagine if he couldn't do that. Who would listen to his words? He even said, if I don't do the works of the Father, don't even believe me. And the Lord told me, he says, this gospel has to be preached like this before my return. It has to be demonstrated. Well, he's just going to bring it out of the sky. No, not that operation. You're going to have to find that. Now go back to John 14. The last day church will demonstrate the glory of God in an unprecedented level in one of the darkest times. You see how dark the world's getting. They're getting crazy out there. There's some serious cray-cray stuff out there. And it's getting worse. I mean, they don't even hide it anymore. No use me telling you, you see it. All you got to do is turn the TV on, the crazy stuff. It's awful. Let's go back to verse 10. So he says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So watch what he's going to ask them to believe. Do you not believe that I am in my Father where he is? And my Father is in me where I am. The words that I speak to you, I don't speak of myself. The Father that's dwelling in me right now, he's the one speaking to you. This is the synergistic relationship he held with God. Now he's going to bring us into the equation. And then he says in verse 11, believe me that I'm in my Father in me, or else believe me for the works. Again, he's saying, believe me. Believe in this union is what he's asking. Understand the union. Because it's the master key to operate just like me. Then he says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go unto the Father. And he says, whatsoever you ask in my name, I'll give it to you. So there's two things he promises us. If you can understand this union, if you can apprehend this union, if you can find this union I'm talking about, because he's going to introduce us to it in a minute. He says, here's two things you're going to be given out of this union. Number one, the works that you see me doing without measure, you will do also in my name. Number two, you will have answered prayer from the Father, continuous answer prayer. Whatsoever you ask in my name, it will be given to you. You have both of those operations with me from this union. Amen. So, as soon as he said that to me, when he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Lord. I know that's a hard concept to understand that, but I understand what he's trying to say. We're not deity, but you have to understand he has to move in you to that dimension. He has to stand up in you in that dimension. He has to be and have that level of residence in you. And I told him, I said, no, I don't have that. He said, well, you have it with me. When you go up, you go in the door, you go into the come bold in the throne of grace. Anybody ever been to the throne of grace? Raise your hand. It's coordinates. The throne of grace is coordinates coming out of Hebrews chapter 4 that gives you a compass to go find something that's invisible to the natural senses but made visible to the spiritual eye because of a revelation that opened and you went there boldly. Amen? How about all the other places we go up to? How about entering into his righteousness? Now, Paul said something here, because this is what the Lord told me. He goes, you cannot obtain that union on your own. You'll never be good enough for it. Doesn't matter what you've done. I've done plenty. You can't be good enough to obtain that union. How about Paul? Go over to Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at a man that actually walked with God perfectly, or walked under law perfectly. That's a better way to say it. Go to Philippians 3. I'm going somewhere. He showed it to me. I know how to get this now. I know what to do. I know how to obtain this. Philippians 3, verse 4. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh he's something, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. He says, here's my club, here's my credentials. Circumcised the eighth day, stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of Hebrews, touching of the law, Pharisee. Pharisees at 7 years old had to memorize the first five books of the Torah. More than that, they had to do it perfectly every day of their life. They had to walk out that day perfectly on the Sabbath day. They couldn't so much as pick up a stick. Because if they did, they could be stoned for it. It'd be considered works. The rigidness of the law. You talk about discipline. Who wants to go back there? Concerning persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I was blameless. Did you hear that? He perfectly walked out the law. Blameless in his own self. Did he qualify for the oneness? Oh, he was good. Mary Poppins, goody two shoes. I mean, he was good. That didn't qualify. He would do what would Jesus do? He could work it all out. It wasn't going to come out that way. He went on to say, touching all these things, I counted but dung. He was standing in the Tullian keep of the Roman prison, their sewer system. That's where they chained him. He wrote this book in the sewer system of Rome. And then when he's writing that book, he says, I counted all but dung that I'm standing in that I may win Christ and be found in him. Say, found in him, not having mine own, because this position that I have with him, not all the stuff I did under the law, all the perfection I could have obtained, all the discipline, all the goodness, none of it, zero, could attain to what I found by faith. Found by faith. Having not my own righteousness, I found his. Paul learned to enter into a righteousness way higher than self-discipline. A righteousness was far greater. I learned how to do that. We've learned how to, we go up in there. We learn to exchange. I have this series on the Throne of Grace where we exchange who we are. We exchange our old man for his goodness. We do it all the time. You go in feeling one way and you come out feeling, whoa, hallelujah. Because I stand in him. The Bible says I'm holy and without blame in him. The Bible says I'm holy, unblameable. He presents me faultless. How does he present you faultless when you're full of fault? That is a paradigm shift that you have to get through. Because as long as you walk around with fault, and as long as you walk around with guilt and shame, you're not agreeing with what he said. And if you don't agree with what he said, you can't get clothed in what he has. You'll walk around your own stuff. But when you start agreeing with what he says, and you start embracing and agreeing and leave who you are behind, I can't obtain, but you can. I choose you instead of me. That's why you got to go up. That's why you got to go up. You got to make an exchange. And then you start moving in the realm, holy without blame. And then if you keep going, how about this one? You're forever perfected in righteousness. That's Hebrews 10. Look at one another and said, you're forever perfected in righteousness. The next time your husband and your wife starts yelling at you, say, you're forever perfected. That's a position that can be obtained. Who can work for that? We've been doing this a long time, so we have learned how to get up. We get up into the Father. We get up into the throne. We get up into joint heirship. We learn to get clothed. We learn this exchange thing. And how do we do it? By what he said, by his word, and by faith. And we keep his word, we keep the awareness of it, we see it, we say it, we're aware of it, and we move with it. Amen? We have a whole library to teach you how to do that. We've already been doing this one thing really good, which is found in him. He said it like this in John 14. Are you still John 14? Paul found it. Verse 9, this found in him, having not my own righteousness. That's an exchange you got to make. That you have to be found in him. And I'm going to show you how the Lord says that. Go over to John 14 again. He says it like this, verse 19. In a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you will see me because I live, you will live also. They were thinking like men. They go, what's he talking about in a little while? Because they get in this discussion in chapter 16. What's he saying in a little while? The world's not going to see me, but we're going to see him. He's going away. But he's going to give them the capacity to see where he went. and how to get there and how to be with him and how to dwell with him in the realm of the spirit. Now he says something very powerful. Verse 21. Oh, when he broke this, this was a glorious day. Verse 20. At that day, say at that day, which is this day, you shall know. Say, you shall know. Say, I shall know. Gnosko. That's intimate. No, you shall know that I am in my Father, that you are in me and the Father, and I am in you. You're going to know the union. That's the first time he introduces you to union. You're now part of the equation. Before he asks you to believe in the union, if you can believe in the union, we're going to bring you into it. If you can believe the Father's in me and I'm in the Father and not hate me and try to kill me, I'm going to bring you into it. You're going to get born again. Amen. Something's going to happen. God is going to bring you into a divine union that's going to allow you to dwell where angels can't dwell. Now, we've been doing this union for a long time. I know that. Now, go to John 17. I'll show you something. We've been doing this for a long time. But when the Lord spoke that to me this morning, I realized that I have been very advanced, I would consider partially advanced, pretty good at entering in, pretty good at exchanging, pretty good at moving in the oneness, pretty good at going up, pretty good at getting clothed. And I actually came to the realization I had very little awareness of him being here. I've been preaching on it forever, but the actuality is, I know how to go there. I don't know how to get him here. I know it. I understand it just like you do, but I haven't seen that here. What I've seen there. And that's what he was saying. What you see there, you'll see here. Thy will be done on heaven as it on earth. If you can go up, he can come down. It's going to be the same way. And I realized, and then he gave me some instructions. I'll tell you in a minute. You have to know. Gnosko, know. Oh, yes, God's with me. You have to know Jesus is the healer. It's more than know. You have to believe he's tangibly entered into oneness with you here, as the way you entered into oneness with him there. You have to know that he's come out from the throne. He said in John 14, I and my Father will come and make our abode. What? With you. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will walk in them. I will dwell with them. Living God, Father and Son, coming out from the throne, walking and dwelling with you in manifested glory. And here's the key. How many believe God's with you? That's one definition. Every hand raised, one definition. The second, God's definition of God with you is that the next time a wheelchair is in front of you, they'll come out. That's God's definition. He's not condemning anybody here, trust me. He has a different definition. Because his definition, if I am with you, if my Father's with you, they're going to see the works of the Father. So there's another realm that we have to raise our hand to. So let's say like this. How many know God's with him? Just raise your right hand. How many of you want God with you in miracles? You got to raise the left hand. We got to find out how to get the left hand up. We're going to have to get a different definition of God with me in the earth. Look, I know God's with me. I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a son. I know I'm an heir. I practice these things every day. But there's another realm. He said there's a different definition. And he goes, I'm going to need your faith to shift from going up. He goes, you know how to do that. I need your faith now to shift that whole thing. Put map number 2 on there, please. I need your faith shifted for that whole thing coming down. I need you to practice the awareness. Some of the greatest people who worked miracles in the earth, what they did is they practiced the awareness of God in the earth. They practiced the realm of the glory. That's coming. It looks like the same as 2 totally different maps. One's going up, the other one's coming down. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ with you. Working with you. Working with you. The master key is, canst thou not believe? Then you will go, gnosko, no, I am in you. and this is in you. You're in me where I am. That's jurisdictional. I am in you where you are. This is what the Lord is asking us to believe. The signs of that is they're going to be the manifestation and demonstration of the kingdom of God. Anything short of that, we're not meeting his definition. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We can either act like we are and keep praising the Lord like we have something, but to meet the definition, Jesus said it. He goes, my Father is with me, and you will see him today. Don't even believe what I say, and do you believe the works? That definition has to come to us. That's the living Christ in operation. If you cannot believe what I say about our King and this living Christ, then believe these works that he's going to manifest, for no man can do these things, including me. But he's going to do them through me because he's in me. He's with me. And I know he's with me. You don't wake up to that. That is not something you wake, no more than you wake up sitting at the right hand of God. You're born again. The Bible says you've been raised together, seated with him in heavenly places. There's not a Christian I know that can wake up seated at the right hand of God unless they're in an encounter. You're not going to just go there automatically. It's not going to happen. You have to apply faith and understand how to get there and move to the realm. If that's the case, then to get it here is the same way. And the Lord spoke to me this morning. He said the only way, because you cannot obtain this relationship by works. And that's what he said. You have to believe it. And I understood what he was saying that. I understood what he meant by that. Because you have to believe this union is now part of you. So go to John 17. You think we'd preach this stuff so much. But now he's ready. He's going to move us to his word into a place of demonstration with him. And he, the living King of glory, our living high priest, is going to come stand resident with us in the earth to manifest his kingdom with his Holy Spirit here in the earth. Verse 20. Neither I pray for these alone, but to them which shall believe on me through their word. Y'all stay with me now. I'm going to give you good news here. Is that you right there? You believed on him through their word. We heard the word, we believe, so we're part of this, right? All right. Verse 21. I need you to really, 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 really understand what he's saying here. I'm going to tell you what he's not saying here. He's not talking about union with each other here. That our union be perfected. As our union one together is perfected, then we're perfected in God. That is not what he's talking about. Verse 21. That they all may be one. See, we're all going to be one. Say, all of us are going to be one. That's the way we read it. But that's not what his definition, that's not what he's talking about. If we can all get in unity, God's going to show up. That is not what he's talking about. If you see that, you are seeing the wrong thing. You're missing the greatest equation given to humanity ever. Then he's going to describe what he's talking about. Father, you are in me here in the earth. You dwell in my spirit. You occupy me in a state of oneness, and I dwell in you where you are. That they, say they, that's me, that you may be one in the same way that the world may believe you have sent me. So he's saying, he's introducing this concept. You guys are going to be brought into our union. You're going to be brought into this same equation that I had with the Father and how I worked with the Father, how the Father worked with me, how I dwelt with the Father. In the glory realm and how his glory came upon me in the earth and did miracles, signs, and wonders. He was present. The Father, he said, the Son doeth nothing. The Father's doing the works. It's someone else inside of me that's doing these works. Everyone say, there's someone else inside of me doing these works. There's something else inside. It's not me. Even the Lord said, it's not me. The Father's doing this. He said, I have introduced you to this union. You are part of this now. He didn't say you shall. He did it. Because he went before the face of God and he finished all this. This is the amazing thing with the Lord. Before you were born again, you were seated together with him at the right hand of God. As soon as you were born again, you were seated together. You can tell that to a Baptist. I love Baptists, but most of them are not going to be taught the right hand of God. Or Presbyterian, whatever. You be taught to a religious person, they may never, ever go to the right hand of God. It's theirs, whether they ever knew anything about it. They're seated at the right hand of God, raised together with him, made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Amen. Not when they die, right now. A lot of people think this is the hereafter. Even the translation says the future glory. No, this is the now glory. In my Bible translation, there's an underline that said the future glory. No, this is the now glory. He said, in that day, you shall know that I am in you where you are, and you are in me where I am. My Father, I'm in my Father, you're in me, and we are in you. Making our abode. Verse 22, the glory! Oh, what is the glory? It says the cloud that comes around me and makes me light up. Oh, it's a whole lot more than that. The glory you gave me, I've given. Not going to give, given. Say given. That they may be one as we are. And then he's going to describe the oneness. Ready? Look at your Bible. Read it. Verse 23. I in them. When he says I in them, he means I am in you where you are in an earthly jurisdiction. You are in me where I am in a heavenly jurisdiction. Heaven and earth becomes one. I am in them where they are. They are in us where we are. We can now merge heaven and earth in a divine union. It's already been given. Say given. That they may be what? Perfect. I in them, thou in me. That they may be perfect. Say perfect. And God just, that word perfect this morning. He said, perfected union is not one-sided. He said, we have a lopsided relationship that's not been perfected. You understand how to move into my dimension, but you haven't got my dimension into where you are. And until my dimension comes down, heavenly glory comes down to dwell with you where you are, it's not been perfected yet, although I already perfected it. See, in God, it's done. It's whether or not you and I can get to the place called done. See, God never started anything that he didn't finish. He finished everything. When he said it's finished, it was finished. Everything was already given because Christ moved forward and made sure you would have the same position with the Father he held in the oneness so you could do the works of the kingdom in his name. So he said, I in them, thou in me. I'm going to be in them where they are. You're going to be with me where they are. And do we may be perfect in oneness. This is what he's asking. And then when he said this, he says, you can't do this. I said, I know. I have been exercised in. He says, no more than Paul could do it. You can't be good enough for this. If you're waiting to be good enough, you're in the wrong boat. He goes, it's not coming like that. He says, you can't be perfect enough for it. If you try, you will fail to try to be perfect enough for this union. There's only one way, the Lord said, this union's going to come. He says, keep these words, agree with these words. Not only do they have the power to separate you to the Father, which they did, I can attest, a lot of us can. They also have the power to create the union here for the manifested glory of God, to where we're the temple of the living God, and God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus makes their abode, the living God in us, to demonstrate the kingdom of God. These words have the power because they were already spoken, they were already given, and it's already done. What he's asking of us is to believe it. And he said, I want you to gather every scripture that has to do with me being with you in the earth. And I want you to get after it, is what he told me. I'm telling you part of this journey because we're going to see this. We're going to see the reality. of the living God manifesting the living kingdom in our midst instead of this doing church. It's right there. That's the key. It's the master key. He said, if you could find me going up, can you not find me dwelling within? It's the same process. The hard part is you have to agree it. You have to agree with God. And there's a lot of parts about you here that don't agree. That's why he asked me that in the first place. Oh, that's why I said, no. He says, but I can take a person over into a degree that Christ is emanating in every part of their life here in this jurisdiction. So where you don't walk out of the glory and you're this person, you go into the glory and you're another person, that you're the same in and out. And the manifested glory moves through. He said that union is the master key to the creative miracles to flow without measure. That's why he said, if you can believe in this union, you will be brought into it. And the works that I do, you will do also the same way I did. You'll do them by me and the Father, the way I did them with the Father. And you'll have answered prayer. It's all right there. He said, the key is to get more of me here in this arena. How about out of your innermost being flow living water? Is that this arena or is that God's, that arena? How about the water that I give is a well of water springing up? The kingdom of God is within. Let the word of God dwell richly within. The Father dwelleth in you. Christ in you. My Holy Spirit will come. All these components speaking of all this that's dwelling with us. There has to be an awareness of this union. And there has to be a faith that aligns it all together. A synergy. Say synergy. So when the Lord does something, you already knew he was going to do it because you already saw him do it. You see that? That's what he's looking for. That's what he wants. That's where he's going. That's where we're going. That's what he is like. Whew. To the works that I do, you will do also. Well, I don't want to do the works. Tell that to Veronica's son. Because if somebody don't get there, Stevie's going to stay the same way. Or Luke. Or my brother. Or any other person that medical doctors have no answer for. There is an answer. It's a big one. It is not for one person or two. Everybody can enter into it. And he's going to open this thing wide open in the last days. He's bringing the glory in, but he needs our faith to agree with everything he's already said. It's not something he's going to do. It's something he already has done. My glory I have already given. Let's give God glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's stand. Hallelujah.